Good afternoon. This worship service started about a year ago. Started with the pandemic. It's kind of a bad time to start. Some people say that, you know, it's a bad time to open any kind of business. But to open a worship service during the pandemic is not an easy thing. But the intention of this worship service is to really give a platform for people who grew up in church but left the church to come back. And it wasn't just to accommodate our church members who are more, I guess, comfortable in English. That is a secondary issue. But the primary role of this worship service is to reach out to the people who grew up in church but left the church. And I know there are plenty out there, people who are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. We have Mosaic Ministry, that's English ministry in education buildings meeting. But the age group over there is a little bit younger, so we are targeting the older people to come and worship with us. So I hope that you will continue to pray for this worship service and the people who will be benefiting through this. And starting April 11th, I know I've been kind of alternating, coming one Sunday here, one Sunday education building for Korean service, but the session decided, from April 11th and on, I'll be dedicating my time here during the third service fully. So I'll be here all the time. So there are people who come when I come and don't come when I don't come, but please come. I'll be here all the time, unless, you know, I'm away somewhere. With the advancement of media, we are hearing news that happens around the world very quickly. As it happens, we know what's going on, and we hear the news from Myanmar coming, and it's not an easy one or pretty one. With the military government setting in, people are protesting, and the military is using real bullets to shoot at them, and then a lot of casualties are happening. As we're hearing this tragedy, what do you feel? How does it impact you? How about the Syrian war that is happening? Not only the country is being ruined, but household is getting destroyed, and the families are being torn apart, and the refugees growing by daily, and they're just running away to save their lives. If that feels kind of far away news, how about here in home front? We hear last week in Atlanta, our Deacon O prayed about just a shooting, and it's racially motivated things that are going on all around the nation. And it's not an easy news to really take, especially when we know someone who's been impacted by this racial hate that happens all around us. How does that impact you, and how do you feel about that? How about as you're walking through the street and you encounter a homeless person asking for some handout? Do you kind of run away? And if you know there's a certain neighborhood that has a lot of homelessness, do you just go around and avoid going there? And how do you handle those kind of issues that happens? Well, we sometimes get frustrated. We tend to, you know, fall into despair. And sometimes we call for justice. And sometimes we get angry. But most times, as time passes, callousness sets in our heart. We seem like we want this to get to be over and for it to go away. Especially in this time of pandemic, we see here a lot of death around us and a lot of people going through hard times, and we want this to end quickly, because otherwise we feel like I'm going to be impacted as well and my life is going to be messed up as well. But as children of God, not only the citizen of this world, but as children of God, we are called to make an impact in this world. If the world is getting darker and the news is getting worse, the call for each one of us is not to run away, for us to have a calloused heart, hardened heart, but for us to really do something about what is going on. But things will happen all around us as long as we are alive. But what are you going to do about it? What action are you taking to make an impact? Jesus calls us to really approach each person or each situation with love of Christ. Not with despair, or not with call of justice or anger. Those may be some of the emotions that we express, but we are called to really go into the world with the heart of Jesus to make an impact. Jesus calls us to have a compassionate heart. Seldom compassionate heart is to be seen in our society. It is valued, it is treasured, yet in this tolerant world, compassionate heart seems like there's no room to fit in. Well, the world that we're living in is very tolerant friendly. We are taught to tolerate many things, especially if you don't want to rock the boat, just be quiet, just be silent. And especially being Asian Americans, we are told to be a model citizen, that you are not to just speak up unless necessary. You are not to just talk back. You are just supposed to take it. And we're so used to that kind of lifestyle that we don't know how to react to the evil of the world. We don't know what kind of emotion we should have, what kind of mindset we should have. And we tend to kind of bury our heads in the sand and hope that this will go away. Or even say, this is not my problem. Until it affects me, it's not going to be my issue. Well, this is what the Bible says, Romans 12:17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Well, the Bible recognizes there is evil in this world, but it is saying that when you see evil, do not repay evil with evil. Martin Luther King said this, you cannot drive darkness with darkness. What drives off darkness is light. We cannot fight evil with evil. You have to fight evil with doing what is right in the eyes of everybody. Romans 12:21 says this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The weapon that we have to fight evil of this world is not for us to just arm ourselves and fight ourselves. It is calling us to do good. In the Bible, there's a story that even non-Christians refer to time to time. It is a story of Good Samaritan. When someone goes out of their way, sacrifices himself in order to help other person, the world says that person was a good Samaritan. This Samaritan doesn't even have name mentioned. However, we put in front of his name, Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan. Why was he good? Because rather than not caring, he cared. Rather than being tolerant, he decided to do something, to have compassion upon the person who needed care. Have compassionate heart was the message of the Good Samaritan. Today, we are people who are called the people of faith. And today's passage is a very harsh word that comes to the Christians. When the book of James was written, James, who happened to be brother of Jesus, he didn't beat around the bush. He was direct. He was just in your face kind of a person. And he says, you know, if you think you have faith, yet with your faith, you are not doing anything when you see a person in need and person who needs help, then your faith is not real. Your faith is dead. That's what it calls it. So we want to examine our hearts. Where is my heart when all this evil is going on in the world? When all this need is calling for my attention, where is it? What am I doing? That's what we want to examine. First, we want to know, what is compassion? What is compassion? The American Heritage Dictionary defines the word compassion as the deep feeling of sharing the suffering of another in the inclination to give aid or support or to show mercy. The word compassion comes from the Latin word compassio, which derives from the word compati. That's the original word. Compati is the combination of two words, com and pati. Com means with, together. Pati means to suffer. So the word compassion carries the meaning of suffering together, going through hardship together. That's what it means. When Jesus had compassion, that means Jesus felt what people felt. Well, a person who is well, to feel the pain and the suffering of the person who is unfortunate, that is compassion. I didn't feel it, yet I am there feeling what they're feeling. Person who went through COVID understands what it means to go through the COVID. People who lost a loved one can truly sympathize with the pain and the hardship of losing someone. Person who went through a painful divorce can be compassionate to the ones who is going through the pain. Person who thirsted and hungered and have been homeless can understand better. When I was in ministry in San Francisco, that was my first place of ministry after seminary. There was a brother named Larry. He was a Caucasian person who came to church. And he happened to be ex-homeless person. He used to be homeless for a long time. And, you know, he got his life together, and now he wasn't wealthy or he was well-to-do, but no longer he was homeless. He had a home to live, and he had a job to hold. And so, you know, he came, and he really wanted his pastor to understand homelessness. So he said one day, he invited me to become homeless. Pastor Jim Bob, I want you to understand homelessness, so let's be homeless together for one day. And I decided, well, what can I say? No, you know, your member is asking to have a homeless experience for one day. It's not like lifetime. How can I say no? So I said, okay. So I went in San Francisco, Tenderloin District, where there's huge community of homeless people there. And first thing we did was get in line to get food. It wasn't easy. First of all, it was kind of Cheng-pie, kind of humiliating, you know, to be standing there. He told me to don't dress up and dress down, you know, wear as bad of a clothes as you can. In fact, you don't even have to wear, you know, just you can have holes and all this, you know, ripped up all that, you know, it's okay. So I was dressed kind of a bummy and going there. I went through the process, you know, went to get the food and, you know, stayed with him and tried to get the shelter. We couldn't get the shelter because you have to get in line early to go into the shelter. You couldn't go. So we had to sleep in the street. I guess he felt bad and says, Pastor, you don't have to sleep on the street. You know, you can go home. So he sent me home. So I said, whew, oh, you know, thank you so much. But that wasn't enough for me to experience what it means to be homeless. Unless you become homeless yourself, you don't understand. Unless you went through the birth of bearing a child, you cannot say, I understand the pain you're going through, because you haven't. Only person who understands the pain that you go through giving birth is a person who gave birth herself. We cannot know the frustration and anger and the hurt that people are going through until being racially kind of isolated and being mistreated until you yourself experienced. However, if all of us waited to experience all this kind of hardship in order to be compassionate, we will never be able to have a compassionate heart, because some of us, we do not go through all the hardship in life. Jesus wasn't sick, yet he was compassionate to the sick people. Jesus didn't go through the hunger, yet he understood what it means to be hungry. Jesus didn't go through the death, but yet he understood the families of the people who lost their loved ones. So he had compassion upon them. The Bible is very clear. 1 Peter 3:8 says this, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble, it says. Well, we know Jesus has a compassionate heart, and this is what he says. Let me refer to a few verses. Matthew 9:36 says this, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without the shepherd. Matthew 14:14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. When Jesus saw the sick people, he went into action. Compassion is feeling what other people are feeling. Because Jesus knew what it meant to be sick, he felt the pain and hardship together, he decided to help them. Matthew 15:32 says this, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. And Jesus says, you know, compassion on them for the hungry people, and decides to feed them. You see, compassion moves not only our hearts, but it moves our hands and feet. Jesus' compassion, it drove him to leave the throne of heaven and come to us. And his compassion drove him to heal and to touch and feed people. We know this is the right thing to do in the eyes of not only God, but to people as well. But why do we hesitate to be compassionate? Well, sometimes we blame on our busyness. I'm too busy to be compassionate. I'm just busy living my own life. I can't spare 1 hour of my time for other people. Or for most of us, 24 hours is not enough. But believe me, until the day you die, you're not going to have leftover time. Right now, people say, you know, during the pandemic, we have more time than before. But, you know, when people ask to do something, you know, they have another excuse for not being able to do it. Well, you're going to be busy until the day you die. The day that you're going to have plenty of time is when you're lying in the cemetery. That's it, but that's too late. And other people, why do we hesitate being compassionate? It's because we blame the suffering. You know, all these homeless people, they are homeless because they're lazy. They're into drugs and they, you know, they got mental issues. That's why. We tend to blame the suffering. Some years ago when AIDS took away a lot of people's lives, these days, you know, people are living long life because of medicine. But when it first came, I heard from many evangelicals say that this is a punishment of God to the homosexual community. Is it really? Is it because of their sinfulness that they're dying of AIDS? This, you know, it's virus. Is it? Is it? Is it truly condemnation from God? Maybe, because it hit more of a homosexual community than any other community. But how about the people then who are born because of mother's AIDS, born children with AIDS? How about because of transfusion people who were affected? If it's a condemnation from God and it's a punishment of God because of our sinfulness, we are all sinners. No one. We're all short of God's glory. All have sinned. And including all of us, all include you and I, then we should also be punished for our sins as well. It seems like we have a tendency to blame somebody for things that they do. We blame, when you hear the people in North Korea starving, we blame the communist regime that they're evil and they're bad. Rather than having compassion at heart, we tend to blame somebody for happening in this or that way. Well, disciples, as they were walking with Jesus, ran into a lame person who happened to be lame since birth. They wanted to know whether this was because of her sin or his parents' sin. Why is he lame since birth? Is it because, you know, his parents' sin or because of his sin? They wanted to know. Jesus did not blame anyone, but told that this was to show the glory of God. Why is there so much suffering in the world? So that through us, that God can receive glory. Through us, that God can do miracles. Through his children, God can really be pleased for just through compassion, that God can do something. Compassion is action. We can talk about compassion until we're blue in the face. But if we do not act upon it, that compassion is not a real compassion. Compassion drove Jesus to us and to the people who are in need. Compassion also does not rely on the feeling alone. We might say, well, in order for me to compassionate, I gotta wait until the feeling of compassion comes. I gotta feel compassionate in order to move. Feeling, let me tell you, is not very trustworthy. Feeling comes and goes. Feeling change. Feeling that you had in the morning, you might not have in the afternoon. When you look at your husband sleeping, you might feel compassion. Oh, I feel sorry for my husband. Oh, you know, he works so hard. You know, until he wakes up, then your feeling changes. You know, once he starts opening his mouth, yeah, I hate you. Feelings are not very trustworthy. Compassion has to be intentional. It is not relying on the feeling, but it is an intention that we make. Take, for example, Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, for 45 years, she helped the people who were poor, who were sick, who were dying. 45 years. Do you think every day Mother Teresa woke up, I feel like helping them? I don't think so. She made a conscious decision every day to help people. This is the right thing to do, so I shall do it because I have to. You may say, I want to help, but I don't have the gift or the skill or the power to help the people. Well, let me tell you, once you have a compassionate heart, God will provide the rest. God will provide the tools. How could he not? You want to have God's heart. You want to have heart of Jesus. You want to have a compassionate heart. Why would he not respond to you? You know, I was doing English ministry for 20 years, and after 20 years, I had compassion upon the next generation because the status of next generation was that although parents were very devoted in church, the next generation, seeing the generation ahead of them, being somewhat kind of, you know, dual lives, Sunday Christian, you know, Monday secular person, they were kind of disillusioned and disappointed, so they left the church. So I had compassion upon them. How can I serve them better instead of just serving in one church and being happy and content at that church? What can I do? So compassion drove me to Korean church. Back when I first started Korean ministry, boy, I don't know how I decided to go to Korean ministry. First place of ministry in Korean context was in Texas, Dallas. And I felt bad for the church now, looking back. Right now, the command of my Korean language is pretty good. You know, I'm not eloquent, but I don't get stuck. But back then, boy, you know, there was one member of the church who, after each service, you know, wrote on a piece of paper all the mistakes that I made during the sermon. Wrote down on a piece of paper, and as the person was leaving, you know, kind of shook my hand and put on my hand. And I hated that person. You know, just wrote down all the mistakes that I made. You know, you shouldn't say this way, all that. And now I am grateful for that person. You know, just pointing out all these things. You know, maybe God sent them to really kind of improve the way I speak in Korean sermon. It was like that. But when I had a compassion toward the people of next generation, God, you know, put me on the first generation church and provide me with the tools. So you don't have to worry about your unworthiness, your shortcoming. God will equip you. If you don't have it, then God will send someone else in order to fill that spot or do the work for you. I will be the first one to admit that being compassionate is not an easy work. It's easy to be compassionate to your loved ones, but to be compassionate to total strangers, people that you don't know, people that you don't have anything to do with them, it's hard. It is human to be compassionate to the loved ones, but it is divine to be compassionate to the strangers. It is natural compassion to aid the loved one, but it is supernatural aid to aid the unknown faces. However, God requires from us the supernatural and divine compassion. That's only possible when we're able to see the people with the eyes of God, that each person that we encounter, they're masterpieces of God. They're not strangers. They're masterpieces of God. They're creation of God. As you're walking down the street, when you look at the homeless men, we avoid looking at their eyes. You know why? Because you may avoid their looks because you may be scared. But I believe we avoid looking into their faces because we're afraid to look into their eyes and see the precious human being that God created. That we may be drawn to be compassionate. So we turn away. I have a good friend. His name is Jeremiah Park, and his wife is Jasmine Park. Jeremiah and Jasmine, they were born in Korea. They lived, Jeremiah was a pastor. His wife was a surgeon. She worked at a hospital in Busan, quite a renowned person. And they lived a comfortable life, but they left everything in order to go to Brazil 4 years ago to become missionaries. And during the pandemic, I just was wondering what they were doing and got in touch with them and talking to them. They're in São Paulo working with drug addicts. There's a place called Crocolândia, means people who use cracks. They're the community where not only they're kind of, you know, it's people don't want to go in there. Even the Brazilian government, they just consider it as a human trash and they don't even care for them. But this couple went in there and helping them. And a couple weeks ago, they sent a little video that they are doing ministry. This, I think they filmed it about 2-3 weeks ago. And I know he's speaking a little bit of Korean, but then, you know, you see the kind of what's going on in Brazil. Can we show the video? Thank you.
예수의 구원이 복음이 너무 필요한 이 친구들과 함께 이 자리에 서 있습니다. 여러분의 기도가 늘 언제나 필요하고요. 오늘도 저희들은 주께서 맡기신 사역들을 감당하고자 이 자리에 있습니다.
올라 뜨는데
비가 너무 많이 와서 다들 옷이 다 젖어 있는 상태라서 건강이 좀 걱정이 되네요.
야, I'm glad to call Jeremiah and Jasmine my friend, and they're doing a wonderful ministry of helping people and with a compassionate heart, feeling what the people are feeling there and to share the love of Christ. Compassion never seeks to be repaid. Compassion gives without any strings attached. It does not expect, nor there should be any sense of obligation from the receiving end. Compassion is recorded in the heavenly bank and stored at God's storage, in His safe box. The Bible is very clear. Do not store up treasures on earth where thieves break in and moth eat, but bank it on God. That's what we're called to do. That's what compassion does, storing up in heaven. And compassion begins not in a large scale, but in small ways. Jesus said, whatever you have done to the least of these, giving a cup of water, giving food and giving clothing, giving companionship, little things that you do in my name, you have done unto me, he said. If you cannot begin where you are right now, you will never be able to accomplish any sort of compassion. A Christian went into a supermarket to pick up his wife as he waited near the checkout lanes. He overheard a clerk telling a young mother that she couldn't use her food stamp to buy the socks for her daughter. He saw disappointment on the child's face, so he impulsively stepped over, handed her a few dollars, and quickly walked away. He didn't dare look at the mother because he was afraid he might have embarrassed her. That's what compassion means. Little things in places that we are. Andrew Blackwood, he's a pastor. He once wrote, Jesus, why didn't you tell me you were hungry? Why didn't you tell me you were thirsty? Why didn't you tell me those were your toes sticking out through the cracked shoes? I didn't know you needed medical help. Why didn't you tell me they'd send you to jail? I want to open the door and invite you in. Please tell me who you are next time you knock. It's kind of a very sarcastic statement. Next time, if you tell me you are Jesus, I will help you. But unless you tell me you're Jesus, I cannot do it. Well, Jesus said, whatever you have done to the least of these, you have done unto me. We live in a very tolerant world. We cry out, Black Lives Matter, do not hate Asians. All these things in time, they are silenced and they just go away and forgotten from our memory. Tolerance does not want to get involved. Tolerance, seeing the needy and walk away or around them. Tolerance avoids the issue and avoids the conflict. But compassion moves in. Compassion is a verb. Compassion, even at my loss, we get involved. Today, we designated this Sunday as a Mission Expo Sunday. Though we cannot really go overseas in order to do short-term mission, we want to really just keep the flame alive in our hearts for us to really care for those people who are in need. So we do make special offerings, and we do want to help those people who are in need, and not only people who are overseas, not only people who are far away, but people who are near us. We need to be compassionate to them as well. Compassion is not reserved for diehard Christians, but for all of us. Be compassionate as Jesus was compassionate unto us. Compassion is something that we cannot take it lightly. For someday you and I may be the subject of someone being compassionate unto us. As Jesus was compassionate unto us, we are called to do the same. And I have just a prayer, and this is a wish list, that our church, Chodae Community Church, will become a church that is filled with compassion, that whoever is brokenhearted, whoever is hungry, whoever is just broken and going through a hardship, that they will not hesitate to knock on our doors and not to be rejected. Let's pray. We want to pray together as we have reflected upon the passage that faith without deed, it is dead. That's what James calls it. We want our faith to be alive. We want our faith to be active. For that, we need compassionate heart. God, give me heart of compassion, because if I rely on my feelings and if I rely on my power, if I rely on my just availability and time, I will never be able to practice compassion. Father, give me faith that acts, faith that helps, so that you can see each one of our lives and our faith and call it a living faith. Let's pray. Your touch. The world needs your healing and your restoration. Lord, this country is torn apart by racism and by the breaking, the family units being broken left and right. As we see the world, we cannot feel but despair and disappointment. In this corrupt, in this broken world, we pray that each one of us will not turn our heads and for us to really say, I don't care and I don't know. Rather, we will have a compassionate heart to pray and to help and to go into action. Lord, help us that we may overcome evil with good. God, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.